We're very happy today on our Unplugged podcast. We have our international lung cancer expert, Dr. Stephen Liu. As you guys are very familiar with him, tremendous passion for lung cancer every time I talk to him. And I love your updates on Twitter. And so you help people around the world. It's kind of fascinating how many people know you. So how's everything going, Stephen?
Oh, right back at you. Very kind words. Thanks, Chandler. Always a pleasure to see you again. And you know, it's been a little while since we met in person. I think the last big meeting is probably ASCO for us, but always great to catch up.
Oh, absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started. You know, I want to kind of talk about the EGFR story, a lot of advances there. You know, we kind of started out with the FLAURA study and the metastatic setting, and then we had the ADAURA study, and then we had the LAURA study. And so one of the things that really jumps out before we get to the metastatic setting and we kind of talk about this bispecific antibody treatment is, if you look at ADAURA study versus the LAURA study, Stephen, you know, when you find that Kaplan-Meier curve, because the ADAURA study is for, 3 years, and there seems to be like a convergence there. And then piggybacking on that, in the LAURA study, you get that medication, osimertinib, indefinitely. So what are your thoughts about that in terms of the 3 years of osimertinib in terms of the ADAURA versus indefinite for LAURA?
You know, the duration of treatment is really a topic that we're going to struggle with for a long time. We're not going to get answers anytime soon. I think we know we're over-treating some people. You know, when we give surgery and chemotherapy for a resectable lung cancer, when we give chemoradiation for an unresectable lung cancer, we will cure some people. And if you are cured from those treatments, then you don't need any further therapy. You know, whether it's an extra 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or indefinite, if you're cured, you don't need that therapy. Now, the challenge is we do not cure as many people as we thought. In fact, we cure very few people in that setting. And EGFR mutant lung cancer is one that's probably programmed for pretty early spread. And so the rate of cure in those control arms is pretty low. What's more troublesome to us is that we don't know, looking at a patient, if they're cured or not. And so we need a little time for the technology to improve, for us to be able to detect patients that have minimal residual disease, as our colleagues in the hematology world have done. And I think that some of the progress we've seen in colorectal cancer can be an inspiration for us here, but we don't have a good biomarker. We saw some data from my colleague in Australia, Dr. Tom John, looking at these personalized tests for minimal residual disease. And even there, where we take the time to craft a personalized marker, the performance is pretty suboptimal. So we know that we're over-treating some people, but we think that's better than under-treating the majority of people. So right now, I think that TKIs play a very important role at keeping these cancers away. And we can sort of debate whether giving the osimertinib really cures more people after surgery, or with more time, are those curves going to banana together? But what the data shows is that more people are alive at 5 years if they take 3 years of osimertinib than not. Would I extend beyond 3 years? I think in the right setting, I'd discuss it. And there's certainly cost and quality of life implications for that. But I think right now the TKIs are very important in that setting. We're going to look for more data to further refine our delivery, become more sophisticated. For today, till the technology catches up, I think the TKIs are very important part of standard care.
Absolutely. Very well said. Kind of help out our general medical oncologists and even earlier lines of treatment. I know that the ADAURA 2, that it's even like smaller tumors that might be reading out in the future. Any thoughts, Stephen, on when that study might come out?
Those are mostly going to be event-driven, so difficult to pinpoint exactly. But you know, when we look at the use of osimertinib for resected stage lung cancer, while the study was stage 1B to 3 using the old staging system, while the primary endpoint might have been stage 2-3, the FDA approval is agnostic to stage. So if it's something where I want to consider using that in earlier stages, I can have a discussion. The lower the risk of recurrence, the less degree of benefit. But I certainly think that the performance, keeping cancer away while you're on these agents, is still very good. Now, you brought up some of those Kaplan-Meier curves, and I can stare at those curves all day, you and I. But you know, when we think of these curves, we're looking at medians, we're looking at landmark survivals. In that lower curve, the first thing that jumps out to you is the separation. When you get osimertinib after chemoradiation, the disease-free survival is so much better with osimertinib. But as you look a little more closely, you know, you do see even in that osimertinib arm, even though you're continuing indefinitely, after a couple of years, you're losing a lot of people to progression. And so resistance remains an issue even in that stage 3 setting. And frankly, some of those stage 3 lung cancers are probably stage 4 lung cancers. So I think across the board, we need to refine our delivery and really get a little better in terms of the treatment options that we have. Osimertinib is a fantastic game changer drug, but it's not perfect. And so we still need to look for ways to improve it.
Yeah, like that micrometastatic disease that we might not see that's present there, that's not picked up on imaging, or even on the earlier line stage, like you mentioned, Stephen, you know, some of these patients might have like vascular invasion, microvascular invasion, perineural invasion. So knowing that, you know, as a thoracic oncologist, you have that leeway, even if it's like a earlier stage, stage 1, set that person right in front of you that you make that clinical judgment.
Yeah, that's right. We got to take each case on its own.
Now, kind of going into the metastatic setting, you know, about a year ago at this time, Singapore, we had the FLAURA2 study. The FLAURA2 study was very interesting. Chemotherapy with osimertinib in a first-line setting. What was your initial thoughts on that study, and what are your thoughts today?
Well, I think it's evolved a little bit. Osimertinib alone, based on the FLAURA study that you mentioned early at the top, defined our standard of care. Right. Now that was published 2018. So it's already been about 6 years. And yet for a lot of people, that's still our standard. That's not as much progress as we would have liked to have seen. And in 2018, I think a frontline progression-free survival of 18.9 months was impressive. It was certainly better than anything else we'd seen at that point. In 2024, especially after seeing those CROWN data at ASCO, 18 months is not nearly long enough. Right. And, you know, when you and I see a patient tomorrow in clinic, if they have an EGFR mutant lung cancer and we start a drug like osimertinib, telling them that in a year and a half, this is going to stop working, that's not very long at all. We certainly need better. And FLAURA2 was better. When we look at progression-free survival, we saw that was up over 2 years. We saw an increase in response rate, an increase in progression-free survival. Of course, it came at the cost of an increase in toxicity. When we first saw those data, positive trial, separated curves, a new option for better long-term control. As we've sort of sat with it a little bit more, I think the question we've had is this worth it? Certainly, we want to keep progression away. We want to maintain a long period of control. But I think the question that FLAURA2 asks, osimertinib plus chemo versus osimertinib, I think that's not really the question we want to answer. What we really want to know is giving osimertinib with chemotherapy at the beginning better than giving osimertinib alone and then giving chemotherapy second? Is giving them at the same time better than sequencing them out? Because if they're the same, the only thing that giving them together up front might give you is more time on chemotherapy. And I don't know that that's really a win. So if I can successfully sequence these, I'd rather keep that time on osimertinib alone, because that time is very high quality time. Osimertinib is a well-tolerated drug. And when someone's taking a once-a-day pill with relatively few side effects relative to chemotherapy, I think that that quality of life and that time you have is something that we may not get again. And you know, there are patients that we treat where even though the median might be 18.9 months, osimertinib is just such a perfect fit that they stay on that medicine for many, many years. And when I think of sort of sacrificing that to go on to chemotherapy right away, and I wonder if it's really worth that gamble and losing that quality of time, because looking back, that might be some of the time we have on treatment, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about the chemo, you think about cisplatin or carboplatin with pemetrexed with osimertinib for 4 cycles and, you know, maintenance pemetrexed with osimertinib. So, you know, it's like the continuation when you go down that road. And then, you know, sometimes if you start with osimertinib by itself and you have oligometastatic, maybe 1 or 2 lesions, maybe do SBRT, you know, so that way you kind of prolong that. Now, what are your thoughts about that, Stephen?
I think it's a great point, Taylor. And you know, when we think of the chemotherapy part, there are side effects with chemo for sure. We're never going to call chemotherapy easy. And I think over time, pemetrexed can be tough. But even beyond those side effects, let's say miraculously, you can prevent all of those side effects. You're coming in for an infusion every 3 weeks. And you know, my practice right here in DC, I know it's hard to get here. I know it's hard to park here. Not just that, you're taking a day off of work. You're taking a day away from the family. But also, if you're coming in every 3 weeks, you're sort of anchored, you're tethered to this infusion center, and it makes it a little more difficult to travel. You know, when we book a family trip, this important trip on this day, we try to plan everything. And then, you know what? Feeling a little under the weather. Blood counts are a little bit too low. We have to reschedule the chemotherapy a week. Well, now I have to, maybe I miss my flight. I got to reschedule my flight. What if I'm late coming back from my flight? There's all these sort of stressors, and it really makes it difficult to plan a life. And not only that, every 3 weeks, you have this constant reminder that you are a patient, you're coming in for this treatment. Whereas when you're on osimertinib alone, I can't speak for all patients, but when you're on a pill like that, maybe that allows for moments where you forget the cancer's there, where you're sort of living your life outside this cancer center, maximizing the time out there. That's what I want to see. I want to see more time out there living life with things that are important, family, friends, job, play, versus being here at the cancer center. I feel like I'm stealing some of that time. And if at the end of the day, people do not live any longer with that approach, have I really done a service to that patient, or have I robbed them of some very important moments? And that's something that sort of keeps me up. So these approaches of targeting residual disease, persistent disease with stereotactic radiation, with ablation, with surgery, I do think those hold a lot of promise. And, you know, we saw in the NRG study that looked at oligometastatic, that was a negative study, that this approach isn't right for everybody. But I think for EGFR, where we know we can get very good control up front, is there an opportunity, a window, where we can be a little more aggressive and prolong the period of control? I think that is the case, but I will admit that we haven't proven that. And so it's an area of intense investigation ongoing now.